Hi, everyone. This is Alex Romanovich with Global Edge Talk. And today is June 5th, 2020. And we have a wonderful guest, very interesting guest in our studio today. Her name is Edwina Sarkanian. Hello, Edwina.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
We will talk a lot about very interesting things related to cooking, related to erotic cooking, from what I understand. And we will talk also a little bit about Edwina, very interesting background. Now, Edwina, from what I understand, and you and I were chatting about your background, your past. You came from former Soviet Armenia to the United States. It was quite an interesting story you told me about it. You wouldn't have to go into all of those details, but you're a single mom trying different things in the States, and then finally you found your calling. Tell us more about your background and your history so that we can give the audience some perspective.
So yes, I do come from Russia, former US, but I am Armenian. My background, I was born in Azerbaijan, and then my family moved to Russia. So I grew up there and went to Russian school and college there as well. Yeah, I was 24 years old when I came to US. But before that, I had quite a story. As a young girl, experienced a lot already. So that was, for me, it was a big change when I decided to make this decision to come here.
Very cool, very interesting. So from what I understand, you had very interesting experiences, professional experiences. One was working in the beauty industry, and the other one was involved with you being a makeup artist, and not just a makeup artist, but also being a makeup artist to the stars and to the wealthy individuals all over the world. Tell us a little bit more about how you sort of stumble upon this. What sort of made you decide to do this, and you know, about all your travels and those types of things?
Sure. When I just arrived here, I was super brave and had just $500 in my pocket and my brave heart. But I had no friends, no family, no one here. So I decided to start my road, and it went from very simple jobs that just, you know, to survive, to then later on moving towards becoming someone. So I was super young, and I tried bartending. I worked in really cool bars, making lots of money. Sometimes I wasn't making in the beginning, but then, you know, with progression of having some friends and knowing people, you know, you get some offers. So I was working at good restaurants as well, at the bar. And then I decided that that is not something I want to really do, because I have this creative side in me. And I always loved drawing when I was a little girl. So I thought makeup is very close to that. And I went to makeup school that was in West Broadway in the city, called Makeup Designery. I graduated from that school, and then I got a job at a really high-end salon, Frederick Takai, and I worked there for a while. But after I left the salon, I had lots of amazing, wealthy clients that became close to me and became my friends, and they would hire me to do their events anywhere in the world. You know, I would travel to Ireland, to France, to Mexico, to any part of the world that they would invite me and do their makeup. And also, I've met really amazing photographers that I've worked with, and we did have lots of projects together. We would create a vision that we want to accomplish. It could be something with children. I would do the styling for the photo shoot. I would style the whole shoot. I will do also makeup and hair. And that was a really, and still, I still do that sometimes because I love it. It's something, everything is connected to art. Either it's makeup or photography and photo shoots. And I've done a lot of photo shoots as a model, being a model as well. in those photo shoots. And it's just an idea that you come up with and you just want to do it. And I have great friends who are photographers that we have this connection and we have the same vision. So it always worked out well.
That's quite, it's quite, quite a responsibility when somebody is dispatching you or asking you to come all the way across the world to do makeup work for them, for whatever event this is or whatever, you know, cause this is and so forth. What is sort of going through your mind as you're flying to that destination? And how do you prepare yourself for something like this? Because, you know, you, I guess you have to be near perfect. I mean, I understand that they would, you know, sponsor your, you know, sponsor your trip and obviously pay you the professional fee and so forth. But what if things go wrong? Or I mean, how do you handle something like this? I'm just very curious.
Well, that's a very good question because I find out that these days, looking at the children, I'm talking about my daughter, that they do not, the younger generation, do not have this problem-solving skills. I have this build in me, I think. It's just like my mind is like a computer. I would know how to solve a problem. If something comes up, I would know how to fix it. I don't know how to explain. It's just practical and logical and problem-solving skill, I guess. So I never had that thought. It's interesting when you're asking me this question, I never had that thought that, what if something would go wrong? I don't think that way. I just know it's going to go well. There was one moment that it went wrong just for myself, but in Paris, I'll tell you later about it. But the reason this clients always were comfortable inviting me to do their event, their wedding, or whatever the event it is, because I've earned that trust within years. When I started working as a makeup artist, my higher-end clients, they were always afraid of makeup. They always thought that makeup is something, you know, plastered on your face. You know, for me, makeup is bringing out the beauty of a person and knowing and feeling exactly how much she can carry on. It's not, for some women, very natural makeup is her way. For others, she can go a little bold, but it also depends on the event. It has to be appropriate to the day or evening or the event. So I do have that feeling of the person. I know exactly what she would like. And I've earned that trust in them within years. So the reason that they would invite me to travel, because they'd rather pay my expenses and know that they're going to look the way they feel comfortable. Maybe not necessarily, it doesn't mean that I'm the best makeup artist in the world, but it means that I make them feel as good as they want to feel. And this is the most important feeling. I've done makeup for some celebrities like Martha Stewart. She's an awesome, amazing woman, very, very sweet and very, very caring. Many other people as well, because our salon we had lots of cool, interesting clients at that time. So this is the reason I was feeling comfortable. And then with some of them, you know, you become friends and they also invite you to the wedding and you party at their wedding and, you know, they spend time with you. And these people were the kindest, the most generous, the most down-to-earth and beautiful people that I've ever met, really.
That's wonderful. My understanding is from early discussions is that you showed up here in the United States, if we're going to go back in time, with just one suitcase and a few hundred dollars. And you just kind of spontaneously decided to land here at JFK and without any plan whatsoever. How do you do that? I mean, how do you do something like this without any planning or anything else like that?
Well, I've been through a lot of pain and grief since I was young. My father died when I was 7, and then I was married when I was at 19, and I had the child at 19. I was married at 18, and then had my child at 19, and then something happened with my husband that was, it was 90s, there was lots of crime, so he went to jail, and, I was alone. I was single for a long time, and I was waiting for him, but then I realized that it would be there will be nothing. You know, it was 12 years and I had to move on. So I went back. Actually, I quit my college when I had a child. I went to a linguistic university. So that's where I learned English. I was learning some German, but I quit, unfortunately. And then I did some, and then I did psychology as well. So I went back and I finished. And then I decided to try my luck because I thought, you know, there could be nothing worse than being here because I've experienced a lot of pain. And actually, you know, being an Armenian also at that time there was not easy. So it would feel, as a woman, I also felt lots of living in Caucasus. It's a man's world. As a woman, you do not have much, you know, especially when you have a child and you're married. It's very complicated and very outdated mentality that I would not agree with. I do not believe that I have to live by somebody else's opinion or somebody else's rules. I didn't think this was the life for me. I always knew since I was little that I would move somewhere where is freedom. So this is why I chose, and I wasn't afraid of it. I did come to New York, but my my job was as a waitress in Denver, Colorado. But I decided that I don't want to be there. I don't think I want to be in Colorado. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna stay here. And I just went from airport to got a some room at a hostel and stayed there until I found in 3 days a job and the newspaper as a unpacking at the warehouse cell phone accessory store. And then I worked there for a while until I got fired. I guess I wasn't unpacking well. So yeah, this is how I started. And you know, I would call my mom and tell mom, I was crying. I would say, I live in a basement, like underneath our house. She said, it's okay. You wanted to do it. So keep going. This is your decision, your choice. So don't cry. And you'll be okay. You'll move up from the basement. So that's how it was.
And you certainly have. Well, let's talk about the fun part of your entire experience, which is cooking, right?
Yes.
From what I understand, you have a little surprise for us today. And let's talk a little bit about this, but then you're actually going to show us something as well, right?
Yes, sure.
So how did the whole cooking thing start? And, you know, I've noticed looking at the pictures and your videos, they're so colorful and so almost erotic. And you actually make some comments about that. So tell me more about that. Tell me more about that part of it and what sort of excites you about this and why erotic?
So I've always loved cooking, and I come from Armenian culture where cooking and food is a huge part of our life. I grew up, you know, around a huge garden where everything grows right around, you know, behind my house, and we just go grab all the freshest vegetables and fruits and cook with it. So I grew up in that culture, and food is very close to me. But, you know, at some point I understood, I was thinking, you know, what I want to do, what I want to keep going, doing, you know, and then I thought makeup is something that I know how to do, but it doesn't excite me anymore. It's not something that I want to keep doing, but the food that is something that is in me. It's so natural to me that I don't think about it. I just go there and I create these dishes. It's something that I don't have to learn. I don't know how to explain. It's very, you know, one thing is very important: to listen to yourself. I wasn't listening to myself deeply, you know, trying this. And when actually some of my friends would say, this is what you have to do, your cooking, because this is something incredible. I've never seen anybody cook such diverse food so fast and so delicious. This is like your environment. This is something what you have to do. But then, you know, I'm like, oh, but who needs it? You know, there's so many people, they all know how to do it. To me, I was always thinking that this is so easy, you know, because everybody could do it. But then with time, when people ask me, simple questions, how to do this. And I realized, oh my God, this is such an easy question. But I guess for this person, it's not as easy as it seems to me. So I started paying attention and receiving this, started cooking. You know, I cook for my family, for my children, and they are great eaters. They eat all the vegetables. They have very good palates. They are, you know, they're not scared to try new things since a very young age. And I like that. I like the adventurous part in them that I actually, I think I brought them up that way. So yes, I started last year. I went to do makeup for work in Paris. It was a great wedding, and I decided to stay for a few more days. I've never been to Paris before. And it was a Friday wedding, and on Saturday evening, I broke my leg. So I was devastated. I had three more days, but then, you know, thankfully I have a friend there who took care of me. And I came back on crutches on a wheelchair. And that time actually was a breaking point for me, because it was a very busy season for weddings and projects, but I was not able to move or walk for 3 months. So of course I lost clients, and everything shifted away from me. It kind of brought me to where I should be now. So that was my turning point, definitely. And I was sitting there and thinking, why did this happen to me? The acceptance part, it took some time. I was a little depression because I was very active all my life, and exercising every day. So now I'm dependent on everything and everyone, and I cannot do anything. I'm just laying there. What I was doing at that moment, I was finding answers within myself. So this happened for a reason, and I have to think, and I have to change something. So, and I came to the point that I realized what I have to do. I have to continue with my cooking. And I see how people respond to me about that. They ask me, you know, for a book. They ask me for recipes. They ask me to teach them, you know, and I think this is my calling. You know, I have to give what I have in me, and I do want to share, because I love sharing. I'm a kind of person, if I find out something really interesting and something good, I'm, you know, whatever it is, music or, you know, some interesting class or something, I always want to share with people, because it's not just for me. And the food is about sharing this art. It's very artistic for me, because it's like, I used to paint very nice when I was little, but I don't have the drive for it. So I say it's like painting on the plates for me. So I enjoy it, and I get a big response from people. And I think, and I realized, yeah, you know what? This is my thing, and I have to do it.
So what are we cooking today?
Yes. Today,
show us.
I prepared for you a couple of ways to prepare tuna, because, you know, many people think it's something too complex or too sophisticated. Everyone loves tuna tartare, and they love tuna tataki as well. So I'm going to show you how to make those two.
Excellent.
They take no time, and they're, you know, easy and very delicious. So
okay.
Yeah,
excellent.
Let's go. I'll just move my camera with you, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Light. So, let me know how you see. Oh, okay. Let me see how. I'm going to just put my camera here. Tell me if you see me well. Maybe.
I see you well, but I don't see the table yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my friend is here. She'll hold the camera.
Okay. Great.
Olga. Maybe like this. Oh, okay. Do you see me well like this or from there? I'll check. Oh, you cannot see the table.
Yeah, see you well, but not necessarily the table.
Come close, maybe like this. Just my hands, right? Just my hands. So I have already tuna.
Okay.
My hand, that I, you know, chopped in a little pieces because I didn't want to take too much time. But I'll show you in another piece how to do it quickly. So we have a nice piece of tuna steak. And when you, you know, go to your fish market, ask them to give you sushi grade tuna. That's beautiful. So I'm going to show you how to chop it. I have it pre-made here, but just for the people to see it.
Okay.
Just cut into thin, small pieces like this. And chop as fine as you prefer. I have here the condiments that I like using. I have ponzu sauce. I love going to Japanese markets because they have a big variety of great stuff, like really authentic, good quality ponzu sauce. Ponzu sauce is a citrus soy sauce. It has a really great yuzu flavor. I do have the yuzu juice, so I will add a little bit of that in here as well. I love some toasted sesame oil. Add a few drops. Some ume plum vinegar. This is one of my favorites vinegars because it has this great ume flavor, and it has a bit of saltiness. It's just delicious for many things. Some black pepper.
I'm assuming we'll be able to post this recipe on the landing page, right?
Yes, sure.
Okay, wonderful.
And oops. I get excited about spicy peppers. So yeah, some Aleppo pepper. I love because Aleppo pepper is very mild red spicy pepper. It's not too hot, but perfect for mild flavor. I use a lot of flavored oils like citron, green lemon, or regular lemon. That goes well also with the tuna. So we're going to mix it all together.
I'm getting hungry already. My goodness.
Good. We're adding some sesame seeds. You know, you can add or any kind of herbs, greens. Actually, I will add my favorite Thai basil. I have Thai basil here. It has a bit of different flavor than regular basil. It's so fragrant. It's unbelievable. I love also purple basil that I grew up with. It's not everywhere available, but farmers markets usually have it in season. So Thai basil goes very well. And I love herbs. This is something that I grew up with, and I think nothing tastes as good as adding herbs. It's a must. I have a huge always bag of herbs in my fridge. So that's the basil. You can absolutely add things like scallions. I'm not doing it right now. I just have the tuna. And to make two layers of it, I'm going to do avocado on it as well. Show you. Sorry.
That's fine. This is exciting.
All right. I cut this avocado. I checked it because I had... Did you see the video of my avocado?
Yes. Yes.
So I have the avocado. You can serve tuna tartare many different ways. You can serve it as is, just as you see it, with some crackers. You can serve it as a tower, that I will show you. You can serve it in little spoons. There are so many ways you could do it. It's just, you know, up to your creativity. Some lemon oil, a little bit of this pineapple vinegar. It's very mild, a little sweet. It's really great. Some salt. And I'll just smash it. I have this really beautiful plate that I love using. It looks like a shell, but you can use any plate.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I actually got this.
It looks like a shell, right?
It's actual shell.
It is actual shell. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it has a little leg.
That's one exciting. That's very cool.
Broken, and it has a spoon also as a shell. This. My friend from the salon that I used to work, she gave me this so many years ago, and I love it. It's just, okay, our avocado is ready. So now we're going to plate it. Let me just remove the stuff quickly.
How important is the presentation of food?
It's very important. It's one of my favorite and most important parts, because food has to be beautiful. It has to be exciting. It cannot just be boring and not interesting. It has to be eye pleasing. First of all, I love to see a beautiful table. You know, it's very easy. You just need extra few minutes for it. It's not.
Let's take simple foods like a piece of steak or hamburger or hot dog. How do you make it more exciting? How do you make it more, you know, more interesting?
Well, the accompany, whatever you're going to use it to accompany, you can make a steak look so beautiful with vegetables and herbs and greens and some, you know, the other day, the fiddlehead ferns are in season right now, and they're very beautiful. You can use those. So I'm going to take I've never done it in this plate, and I think it might. We'll try it, okay? So it's a ring for settling dishes like that. So you just put your tuna. Fill it up. And make sure it's tight so it doesn't fall apart when you take it out. Hopefully it won't. Well, the tuna has to stay a bit in this marinade since we don't have the time right now. Let's say you have to refrigerate it for an hour or so. So it will kind of settle down. Okay. So keep that in mind that we don't have that right now. So that's it. And then we're going to add our avocado on top. Since avocado is softer, I would put it on top because it's going to kind of smash on underneath tuna if I did avocado first. But it's okay.
Interesting.
That is not a problem. But I'm going to add a little layer of it on top. One more layer of tuna. Do we have still time?
Yeah, we have time.
Okay. So almost done with that. And I have some beautiful greens and a couple of things that I'll show you what we're going to do for presentation. Finish this off. So that's it. And then we're going to take this out. Perfect. Well, I'm rushing, you know, so it's not as perfect as I would like it, but you get the idea. I will put some sesame seeds on top. Then I found this beautiful wild asparagus. I've seen it first time in France, but I bought it today, and I think it would go very beautifully with our dish for presentation. And I have this baby radishes that I also love. You can eat this actually whole with leaves and use it for the salad. Since it's too much, I'm going to cut the bigger leeks and place it on top of tuna. Maybe just one. I don't know. I just kind of play with it, you know? I play with it and see how this can look better. Can always add more leeks. So that's it. And serve it with some crackers. And it's ready.
Wow. Wow, that looks amazing. I'm sure it tastes just as amazing. But
it
the presentation,
very good and
yeah,
super
and you know, it's a, when you think about it, it's just a, it's a simple preparation, you know, procedure. It's, there's really not much to it, right?
Exactly. This is the point of my food. When you look at it, it looks very complex. No, there are dishes that are complex, but not so many. Since I love cooking and I love doing it, I don't like to spend so much time in the kitchen, you know? So I try to create dishes that are actually easy and simple and quick to make, but they look like they come from a very sophisticated, expensive restaurant, and they do taste that way. So it's all about the quality of the ingredients first and the simple preparation. There are some techniques and methods you just have to know. Like when you cook your steak, you, if you have a grill, it's one way to cook. If you are doing it on a stovetop, you butter baste it, and you will never go wrong with it. You know, what comes to seafood, it's my favorite way, my favorite stuff to cook. I love cooking all shellfish. It's very fast, and the sauce you can create in a few minutes, and your dinner is ready. It's just about simplicity and the correct method of cooking. It's very easy.
Wow. So, thank you so much for giving us a little, I guess, little masterclass on making tuna tartare. Wonderful.
My pleasure. I was thinking to show you another way of making tuna. I don't know if we have time for it. We can do it other time. It's just very easy.
We'd love to maybe do it some other time and invite you to talk to us again. But maybe a couple of more questions. Let's talk a little bit more. You know, just seeing you, the way you prepared it, the way you handled the utensils and the knife and the did you go to school for this? Or is this something that you've done all by yourself? How did you get this skill?
Well, I've never went to school, but I think it something's registered in my mind. My mom is an amazing cook. She's not a professional cook. She's just a woman who loves to cook. And my grandma, I think some things I watched my mom, how she was making. For example, I would when I smash the garlic and I start chopping it in small pieces, then I put salt on it. And I'm thinking, where did I learn this? How do I know this for the pieces of the garlic not to fly away because it extracts the moisture from the garlic? My mom used to do that, and I remembered that. But some things like that I remember because of watching my mom. But everything else I just learned. And, you know, for me, food is, for example, if I try something at the restaurant, I already know exactly the method of preparation or what are the spices or ingredients that are in the dish. It's very easy for me to distinguish that. I guess it's a talent. I mean, I don't know. That's what people say. But it's something that is easy for me. It's like extension of me. It's very natural.
Certainly, you're very, very talented. That there's no doubt in our minds about this. Another question for you. So if you were to tell the audience, if you were to tell an entrepreneur who is thinking of doing something, or who is thinking of how to do something, how to get a new skill, how to take a chance, how to be a little bit more brave, what would be your advice based on what we've seen so far?
You know, I can absolutely say that you have to follow your heart. You have to listen to what you love to do most, and do not compare yourself to anyone. Do not compare yourself to the things that are already existing. It's not about that. If you have that talent, if you have that drive, if you have that love for something you do, it's going to definitely bring you to the point that you are seeing yourself. Because when you do something that is natural for you and something that is in you, it will always be appreciated, noticed, and will always bring you the success. Because when you're doing something to make money, it's something that you wouldn't probably be happy doing. You will just be doing it, but it's not going to bring you this top, you know. But when you're doing something with love and something you really, really know that you want it, but you're afraid, do not be afraid. Go for it. The success is behind the fear. Where the fear is, that's where the love is. So go for it.
Vina, this is very inspirational. And we thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We'd love to invite you back and maybe do some more cooking. And sure. Are you planning to open a restaurant by any chance?
Well, I've been approached from you know a couple of people, but there's just some talks, and maybe I'll take that offer. I'm not sure yet, you know, but I don't know. But my my own thing is creating my YouTube channel and my food blog and growing that. But my ultimate dream is to have my own cooking show on Food Network, maybe.
Very cool. And we will post, by the way. On the bottom there, we will post the links to your YouTube channel.
Awesome.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you on the Food Network with your own show. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you so much, Alex. It was such a pleasure talking to you. And thank you for having me. I really, really value that.
Thank you.